I sense that most people seem to like Barbara Bush. I don't know much about her. Don't know anything about her background. I really haven't read anything, but I doubt very much that when she married George, she had any idea that she would one day live on Pennsylvania Avenue and in the White House. I think she's a delightful lady. Don't misunderstand me, but her personal charm and her fitness to enjoy the honors and privileges of inhabiting the White House and her ability to preside as hostess there are not the things that put her where she is. She may have all those qualities and all those abilities, but she's there because her husband got himself elected president of the United States. And she is united with him in marriage. She was raised to that lofty position because of her identification with him, because she is with him, because one day she became his bride. Now, we Christians have been raised to a lofty position as well, far more lofty than living in the White House. We've been made children of God. We've been made heirs of Jesus Christ. We've been forgiven all of our sin. We have the personal presence of the living God in our lives in the person of His Holy Spirit. We have open access into His presence through prayer. We have an eternal home reserved for us in His magnificent heaven. And we've been elevated to this marvelous position, not because we're such wonderful people and deserve it, but because one day we became part of the bride of Jesus Christ. He was raised up on high. He was elevated and exalted. And we have been united with Him, joined with Him, identified with Him. We belong to Him. That's why we have this elevated position. There's one Greek word that sums up this great truth. It's the word soon egetero, egetero. Soon means with, egetero means to raise up. It appears only three times in the New Testament, but it bulges with great meaning and has relevant application to our lives, particularly at this baptismal service tonight. The word simply means to raise up together, to raise up together. And the first time it appears is in Ephesians chapter 2. Let me begin reading in verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up together. There's our word. Raised up together is all one word. And made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We've been raised up together with Christ. This is the first time it appears, and from this passage of Scripture we learn the reality of our resurrection with Christ. The grave couldn't hold the sovereign Son of God. He arose triumphant over death, and now we, when we put our faith in Him as Savior from sin, we are joined to Him, we're united with Him, and all that He is becomes ours as well. In other words, what happens to the bridegroom, who is Christ, has immediate advantage for the bride. It's us. He was made alive. We are made alive together with Him. He was raised up. We were raised up together with Him. But what's it mean to be raised up together with Christ? We see, God didn't save us to leave us wallowing in the mire of our old lives. He raises us to a new sphere of life. It's like a girl from the ghetto marrying a millionaire. See, he's not going to leave her in the ghetto. He's going to bring her to live in His mansion. He's going to bring her out of her poverty and out of her squalor and into a new sphere of life, His life. He's going to give her His name and His life. This passage says that we were spiritually dead. Dead in trespasses in verse 5. Groveling around in Satan's realm. We had no way to relate to life in the eternal and divine spiritual realm. We just couldn't understand it. We didn't know anything about it. It was closed off to us. We were dead. So we believed in Jesus Christ. And when we did, we were joined to Christ. We were married to Him, as it were. And we became partakers of His life. That's verse 5. We were made alive together with Christ. But he didn't make us alive only to leave us where we were, any more than that millionaire would leave his bride in the ghetto, or any more than Jesus would bring Lazarus back to life only to leave him in the grave. Can you imagine if he had brought Lazarus to life and then left him wrapped up in those grave clothes in that tomb? He brought Lazarus out of the tomb and into the land of the living. And he's brought us out of the tomb of spiritual death into the realm of the eternally living. And that's what it means to be raised with Christ. We've changed locations. We've been delivered from Satan's kingdom and the power of darkness. And we've been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son, a kingdom of light and a kingdom of life. Our bodies are still located on the earth, but our spirits inhabit a new realm, a heavenly realm. We've been raised up together, it says in verse 6, and made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The result of our being raised with Christ is being seated with Christ in the heavenlies. What's that mean? I mean, here we sit very much on earth tonight in a very lovely building, comfortably air-conditioned with padded pews. But yet we are seated in the heavenlies, it says in Ephesians 2:6. What does that mean? Well, it's like the astronauts who walked on the moon. They were physically located on the moon, but they lived in spacesuits that reproduced an earth atmosphere right there on the moon. So actually they were on the moon, but they were living in the realm of the earth there on the moon. Now we are physically located on the earth, but we are in Jesus Christ. We are united with him. He's seated in heaven with his Father, and we are identified with him so we can enjoy a heavenly atmosphere right here on earth. It's like we have heaven suits as we walk this earthly path. And we enjoy what is ours by virtue of our relationship to heaven. The Bible says our citizenship is in heaven. Our names are inscribed in heaven's register. Our best interests are being looked out for in heaven. We live by heaven's laws. We experience many of heaven's joys right here on earth. Heaven's power is available to us to overcome sin. Our thoughts are centered, or at least ought to be centered, in heaven. Our prayers ascend to heaven. Our aspirations are focused on heaven. And someday we shall enter heaven to spend eternity. And that's all because of our resurrection with Christ. That's the reality of it. He raised us up together with himself and made us sit together in heavenly places in him. The second time the word appears is in Colossians chapter 2. Would you turn over there, please? And if we see the reality of our resurrection with Christ in Ephesians 2, we see the picture of our resurrection with Christ in Colossians 2. Let me begin reading in verse 11. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Now we need a little background to understand that. The heretics that had invaded the Colossian church were saying that men had to be circumcised to be sure of their salvation. Christ's death wasn't enough to provide forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Paul says, folks, that's ridiculous. You don't have to be circumcised. You've already been circumcised. That's what he says. In him you were also circumcised. It wasn't performed by a doctor or a rabbi on your physical body. It was a spiritual circumcision. It was a circumcision of the heart performed by the Lord Jesus Christ the moment you believed in him. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. And what is it? It's the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh. Circumcision in the Old Testament was not only the seal of God's covenant with his people, it was also the sign of their separation from sin and their consecration to God. And this spiritual circumcision pictures our identification with Christ in his death to sin, when the body of sin, that's what he calls it here, putting off the body of the sins of the flesh. That same terminology is used in Romans chapter 6. When the body of sin, which refers to our human nature with its inclination and tendency to sin, was stripped of its authority over us so that we might triumph over sin's power. And baptism pictures that very thing. Verse 12, buried with him in baptism. Buried with him in baptism. At the moment of our salvation, the Holy Spirit of God baptized us into the body of Christ. We know that from 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. We were identified with the Lord Jesus Christ in His death and burial. His death to sin and His burial to the old life. And this verse explains how the Spirit, how that spiritual baptism of verse 11 was accomplished. It was accomplished, or how that spiritual circumcision of verse 11 was accomplished. It was performed by the baptizing work of the Holy Spirit. But our spiritual baptism accomplished something else as well. It identified us with Christ in His resurrection as well. See it in verse 12? Buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him. Raised with Him. That's our word again, you see. And this time we learn that when the Spirit of God baptized us into the body of Christ, He identified us with Christ not only in His death and burial to sin, but in His resurrection to new life. And what is the human condition for experiencing this blessing? Buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. It's faith. Not the physical act of baptism in water. That isn't what does it. It's faith in the working of God who raised Jesus from the dead. But water baptism does picture that whole transaction. That's one reason we immerse. It beautifully pictures our burial with Christ and our resurrection to new life. When we emerge from that water, it's a picture, or it symbolizes us emerging from the tomb with Christ, sharing in His life, being raised to a new realm of living, a heavenly realm. When these people come out of the water tonight, it is a symbol of their being raised to a new realm of living. It happened to us the moment we were saved. It was accomplished by the Spirit of God in the life of every believer. But now we are called on in obedience to give testimony to what happened at the moment we were saved by this vivid object lesson, this sign, a symbol, a powerful picture, water baptism. That's the picture of our resurrection with Christ. Colossians 2 teaches us the reality of it. Ephesians 2 teaches us the reality of it. Colossians 2 teaches us the picture. The third and final appearance of this word presents us with the challenge of our resurrection with Christ. And it's in chapter 3 of Colossians, verses 1 and 2. If then you were raised with Christ, there's our word, to be raised together with. And it's in a conditional clause. If then you were raised. But it's a conditional clause that's assumed to be true. The language in which the scripture was written has different kinds of conditions, and you know whether the writer expected it to come to pass or whether he didn't expect it to come to pass. We don't have that. We just say if so and so, and we're kind of left to assume whether it will or won't. You're not left to assume that in Greek. This is something that has happened to every person who has put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You could translate it, since you were raised with Christ. Or, if you were raised with Christ, and you certainly were if you trusted Christ as Savior, the reality of it has taken place in your life, and I trust that you have given testimony to it by the picture Christ commanded, that is, by water baptism, or at least you will very shortly. But since you have been raised with Christ, there's something that is expected of you and me. Two things, in fact. Since then you were raised with Christ, first of all, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. It's continuous action. Be constantly seeking things above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. To seek means to look for. It has to do with our aspirations and our ambitions. What are you looking for in life? Everybody's looking for something. Some people are looking for good times, or looking for popularity with their friends, or satisfaction of their physical desires, or a good education, or an attractive mate or a nice home or nice things or a better position or financial security or early retirement or entertainment and travel and good times. Everybody's looking for something. But as Christians, people have been raised with Christ, who live in a new sphere, a heavenly sphere, right here on earth, we should be looking primarily for things, Paul says, relating to heaven, where Christ is, not for the temporal things of earth. See, this is kind of a follow-up of this morning's message. Seek or look for those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. What does it mean to seek the things of heaven? Well, heaven is a place where we shall know God perfectly. So I guess we ought to be getting to know Him better right here and now. That ought to be one of our great goals in life if we're seeking the things above, getting to know the Lord better. Heaven is a place of fellowship with Christ, so we ought to be spending time in His presence right here below. That ought to be a priority in our lives, spending time with Him, fellowshipping with our Savior. Heaven is a place of perfect Christ-likeness, so we ought to be growing in the likeness of Christ right now, developing Christ-like qualities of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And these things ought to take precedence over all other aims and ambitions in life. What are you looking for? What are you trying to get out of life? If you're a believer, you've been raised with Christ to a new realm of living, a spiritual realm, a heavenly realm. So set as your primary goal in life preparing yourself for heaven. That's seeking things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. There's a second aspect to the challenge of our resurrection with Christ. Verse 2, keep on setting your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Keep on setting your mind. Seeking things above had to do with the goals that we pursue. Setting our minds on things obviously has to do with what we think about. Couldn't misunderstand that. And what we choose to think about is ultimately going to determine what we seek, what we're looking for. What we fill our minds with is what we will pursue. What we allow to linger in our minds will ultimately control all of life for us. And if we really want to quit seeking things related to this earth, if we want to stop being earthbound, we'll have to start thinking about things related to heaven. They will have to occupy our minds in order to be the goals that we pursue. And if we really have been raised with Christ, that's the only sensible thing to do. So start thinking about the Lord. Think about Him. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. So think about the Lord, who He is, what He's like, what He's done, what He expects of us. Think about His Word, how it applies to our lives, how it helps us live in this pressure-packed world, what guidance it provides. Think about the spiritual blessings we have in the heavenly realm in Christ, the riches of divine grace. Read your Bible, looking for what God has done for you in Christ. Things like that will help us get unhooked from our bondage to material things, with the frustration and the discontentment and the misery associated with that bondage, as we talked about this morning. Think about seeing Jesus. Thinking about seeing Jesus could transform our lives. Christian, you've been raised with Christ, lifted to new and lofty heights because you've been joined to Him. You've been invited into God's White House, a spiritual palace without compare, something that far exceeds anything on this earth. Don't go back and grovel around in the ghetto of sin and selfishness. Start living with heaven's values in view. Start thinking about things above rather than things on the earth. It'll make a lot of difference. It's the challenge of our resurrection with Christ. And I would say to those folks being baptized tonight, this is your testimony. You have been raised with Jesus Christ. When you pass through those waters of baptism, nothing mystical happens to you, but you give testimony to the fact that you are identified with Jesus Christ in His death to sin and His resurrection to new life, a new realm of experience. And it's a testimony that you want to live this kind of new life, seeking those things which are above, setting your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. And I trust that this testimony you seek to give to us tonight will not only make a difference in your life, but in the lives of all of us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful position that is ours in Jesus Christ. We've only scratched the surface of it. But I pray, Lord, that we shall dig deeply into the reality of our life in the risen Christ. And I pray that we may live this resurrection life right here on earth. Give us grace to obey. Love for the Lord Jesus that exceeds our love for anything on this earth. Thoughts that focus on Him. For we ask it in His name and for His eternal glory. Amen.